Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
All right, LZ. So the last few days have been interesting, I guess is a word that's at least accurate with regard to NASCAR and Bubba Wallace and the situation that they found themselves in over the weekend. Just the quick timeline of it, they found a noose in the garage on Sunday. That was Bubba Wallace's garage. Bubba Wallace, of course, the only black driver on the NASCAR circuit. They brought in the FBI to investigate it as a hate crime, and the FBI came to the conclusion that it was not a hate crime, that this was something that had been left there previously, and it was not meant as a threat or to intimidate Bubba Wallace. There was a reaction from people, certain people, that this was a mistake, that NASCAR should have moved a little bit slower to figure out exactly what this was, to instead of immediately going public and saying, hey, this is what's going on, we're investigating it as a hate crime, we're investigating it in conjunction with the FBI, that they should have given NASCAR fans and NASCAR participants the benefit of the doubt in this whole process. Here's what I don't get. What other choice did they have? NASCAR is already in a virtually impossible situation trying to be a more progressive anti-racist organization and at the same time make sure that they still have a functioning business with their core fan base. Okay, that is a really small needle to thread, I think, in their particular case. What they could not do is have this noose be in that garage and then say, guys, it's really not that big of a deal. We figured out that it was left behind by somebody else. That is the worst possible scenario. The best scenario, the best course of action as I see it is, let's go in there and make sure that this isn't what we think it might be. Let's bring in professionals who investigate this stuff for a living and have them tell us what they think it is or is not. Overreacting, air quotes, in this situation is the only course of action, because if you underreact, you're empowering all of the things that we've been talking about in this sport, in this culture in particular, about its very casual relationship with being an anti-racist organization. They did it exactly right. I don't see how anybody can see this as an overreaction.
I was like, how do you overreact when you ask the FBI to come in and investigate? It's not as if you didn't have a noose present. It's not as if you weren't in Alabama. It's not as if the person in question didn't ask for the Confederate flag to be removed. And which part of this process could be considered out of bounds? The people who are criticizing the FBI, NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, the media, the people who are doing that were waiting for a reason to dismiss Bubba Wallace to begin with. And they seized this opportunity. I saw a headline that came from Fox News that said that it was a hoax. And I'm like, it wasn't a hoax. There was a noose present.
Yeah.
It was a noose present in the only black driver's garage. Was it a noose specifically for him? No. According to the FBI, that was not the case. But there was still a noose in the only black player's garage. A noose in Alabama after he asked the Confederate flag to be removed. No one who's being genuine would consider what the FBI or NASCAR or how Bubba Wallace reacted as being overreaching, overreacting. The only people, Travis, who feel that way are people who are offended that NASCAR would remove the flag, or racist, bigoted fans and non-fans. I wanted to say some other words, but I didn't want Jorge to feel the need to dump any more words, so I had to be careful. I had to pull back a little bit. But those are the only people. Those are the only people. Rational people are asking the most important question, which is, why in the hell was there a noose as a garage tie to begin with? A noose. I've yet to speak to anyone. I have yet to visit anyone's house who had a garage that opted to tie that rope into a noose. This is the first time I've ever heard of that. And it happened in NASCAR. Mm-hmm. And it happened in Alabama. So you tell me, you know, what an overreaction is, because that to me is just insane.
It isn't the idea of when you see something that looks as threatening as that would have looked, does look, to assume the worst. Isn't that the most prudent course of action? Because if you do something where you assume that, hey, maybe there's another explanation for that, and it is the worst possible option. Let's say that NASCAR decided, you know what? Hold on a second. Everybody settle down. Let's take a look at this. Let's figure this out. It's probably not what it looks like. And let's assume that somebody did hang it in there as a threat to Bubba Wallace. Where does that leave NASCAR? Where does that leave them? It leaves them exactly where a lot of people think they are already, which is an organization that tolerates this, an organization that has a fan base that is rampant with this. If that would have been the course of action and it goes a certain way, they would have looked exactly like many of us assume that they already are. This was the way that you say, hey, look, that we have one black driver and there was a noose in his garage. We need to assume that this is the worst case scenario. And if it's not, great. Then this wasn't what we thought. And you say, hey, look, we looked into it. It's not good. Okay, let's go to the next thing. But if you go the opposite way and you miss, you set your sport back, you set your organization back, God knows how long, because you went the wrong way. If you're going to see something like that, if you're going to see a noose in the Deep South in a sport that has Confederate flags all over the place, you can't assume that's probably nothing. You can't. That's the one option that's unavailable to you. The one option that is available to you is to go in there and say, let's do everything we can to figure out what this is. Let's bring in some experts to make sure that we do the best possible investigation we can. That's the only course of action to me, because if you miss the wrong way on that, you are exactly whatever the people that you're railing against. Oh, everybody thinks that NASCAR, that we're a bunch of racists in this, and I'm in the South and I'm a racist and all these things. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying let's find out what it is, because if I go the other way and it is that, what does that do for you? Where does that leave your sport? Where does that leave your culture? And if you miss on the other, they missed on the only side where it would be okay to miss if they missed at all. You can't miss the other way. And the argument is that, well, they should have missed the other. No. They missed. They thought it was something and it wasn't. And that's good news. There was still a noose in the garage. No one, this was not a piece of twine that fell on the ground and coiled itself up magically into a noose. It was there and it existed, right. And it was in his garage. It was the only course of action.
And you ask yourself, seeing how unusual it is to tie a noose as a garage pull, you ask yourself, why would someone do that? Why would someone do that? Is it to send a message? Maybe not. Is it because they thought it was funny? Maybe. You know, all I know is with a garage pull, once the garage door is open, the rope is hanging.
Mm-hmm.
It's suspended. And for more than a year, they had a noose suspended in the garage door. At least one door. That to me is the problem. Not that an FBI was brought in to decide whether or not I was targeting Bubba Wallace, but that you had a noose hanging a rope noose hanging at garage doors in your sport, and no one thought it was a problem. That to me is just a discussion point, only to be followed by the conversation of the Confederate flag and what more can we do to Bubba Wallace and push to remove this symbol of treason and racism from our sport. Those are the two questions. Not if it was a hoax, because it was not. There was a noose.
Here's Bubba Wallace himself. He was on First Take yesterday, and his response to the suggestion that NASCAR may have overreacted.
Are we hypersensitive to everything that's kind of going on right now in the world? Absolutely. But if you were in my shoes, and I doubt anybody could walk in my shoes, especially at this moment, you would go down that route just time and time again. From the moment I had the conversation with Steve Phelps to the last conversation I had with the FBI. Which I never thought I'd be on the phone with FBI. So that was always something new. But, you know, it's unfortunately, it's part of our life, part of my life that will stick with me. And I'll learn from this and grow from this and continue to push the positive message forward with what we're trying to change, not only in our sport, but in the world.
You know, what jumped out at me, LZ, was towards the beginning of his answer where when he used the phrase, especially in my situation. Think about that for a second. And I know that the other side wants to make it, well, you know, you can't automatically assume that everybody is evil and everybody is a racist and fine, whatever. But imagine if you're Bubba Wallace in his situation, like he just said, and NASCAR's response would have been anything other than what they did. The response would have been, Bubba, you know, we found this thing in your locker, or your garage, but you know, we don't think it's that big of a deal. We think it might have just been sitting around for a while. We think it was just a rope that was used to pull down the garage door. It's really not that big of a deal. So we're just going to kind of, you know, we'll look into it. But we think it's, you know, we think it's just more of a really bad coincidence than anything else. So we're just going to keep it moving. Cool. Imagine being Bubba Wallace if that was their response. Now, imagine being Bubba Wallace and the response that did take place where NASCAR said, wait, what happened? Okay, let's get the FBI in here and figure out exactly what this is. Bubba Wallace probably feels pretty good about that, that they had his back in that situation, that they brought in experts to look into this. And was it the worst case scenario? No, which is actually good news. But had they gone the other way and you're Bubba Wallace, you're saying, you're telling me that this is no big deal? Imagine being that guy in that sport in this time and place in history and getting that reaction from them because, hey, we just don't want to jump to any conclusions. That's the other option? Come on, man.
It's so frustrating. It truly is. And, you know, it's not apples to apples by any stretch, but you guys remember how angry and upset I was when I found that blackface painting in my tennis center in Pasadena.
Yo, yo, yo.
And basically, I'm like, you know, the only regular, you know, there's like a handful of people of color who regularly go and play, you know, tournaments or not tournaments, but just drills and take lessons in this place. So you feel like you're by yourself. And I'm in this hallway and you see this painting hanging there. And you're like, what the hell is going on? So I understand a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit of what Bubba Wallace is talking about, where it's like, okay, this painting wasn't directed toward me, but come on. So Bubba Wallace is being told, well, that noose wasn't made for you. And it's like, that's not a consolation prize, people.
Yeah.
That's not a warm and fuzzy. You know, we're spending way too much time anyway talking about whether or not NASCAR overreacted to the noose and not enough time on the fact that Bubba's first name was Daryl and he's named after his father, who's white. There's a white Daryl running around here, and we've been burying the lead. How many white Daryls do you know, Travis? How many do you know?
Well, let me think. There was Daryl Evans, who played for your Tigers for a while. He was white. I'm trying to think of any other white Daryls that I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean, what's next, Tyrone?
Not a lot. No, I can't think of any Tyra. Well, you may be onto something, LZ. Maybe we need to bring in the FBI to investigate white Daryls and how many of them are available along the way. The NBA is getting closer to their relaunch. The Lakers have a roster vacancy. Baxter Holmes will join us next to talk about what he thinks the Lakers might do. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Getting closer to the return of NBA basketball. And joining us right now on the Sprint People's Hotline is senior national NBA writer for ESPN, Baxter Holmes, joining us on the morning show. Baxter, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm doing well. How's everybody doing there?
All right.
Good, 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 good. Got a very important question for you, my friend. If you were forced to eat two different kinds of cereal in one bowl, which two cereals would it be?
Oh, my gosh. That's a tricky one. Well, I'm first having to think of, like, a cereal that doesn't compromise the other cereal. So, I don't know. Well, how about Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios?
There you go. That makes the like most cheating. Sense of anything I've heard. No, that's
that. That really feels like one cheating. Cereal.
That's the same damn thing.
It feels like a couple of those little circle things didn't get the honey on them. That's all.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So obviously, you know, we're all excited here in LA because there's an opportunity for the Lakers to win another championship. But with Avery Bradley's absence, there's a roster spot available. We've heard J.R. Smith. Is there anyone else who the Lakers may be looking at or kicking the tires on to come in and take that roster spot?
I haven't heard of anybody else beyond J.R., you know, who's been out of the league for a significant amount of time. But, you know, his past experience with LeBron, the connections, the kind of, I guess you call it the clutch connection in general. And I guess somebody being ready in a pinch who's, you know, as I said, been there with LeBron through some playoff runs makes him, I guess, a candidate who is potentially, you know, I don't want to say ideally suited because, again, he's been out for some time. But I haven't heard of any one beyond that. And, again, I think the news coming out so quickly about that, I'm sure the Lakers were prepared for this, you know, possibility that Avery was going to be out. And so they were doing their homework early. And in some ways, it does check some boxes that are important to them.
Baxter, with regards to Avery Bradley opting not to go back and enter the bubble, what does it do to the Laker chances? Is, you know, with J.R. Smith addition or not, just the absence of Avery Bradley does what to the Lakers' chances of winning the whole thing?
I think it dings them, but I don't think it like impairs them beyond the point of no return and, you know, the championship is lost or anything of that nature. He's certainly been, you know, he's an effective defender. You know, he's very capable on the offensive end. You know, he's just a reliable player. But I don't, there are players on the team who, it's like, yeah, I guess you call them like an Achilles heel. LeBron would certainly be one of them. Anthony Davis, you know, even, you know, losing Kuzma, that would be, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know. They're huge. It raises huge question marks. I don't think Avery is in that particular category. It certainly, you know, is a loss and requires other players to step up. But I don't think that their championship hopes are dashed by any measure.
Do you have any sense at all as to what Commissioner Silver is thinking about will be the tipping point in order to make the postseason all the way to the end? Like, how many cases is the league willing to accept of players contracting coronavirus before they decide to suspend or scrap the whole thing?
Oh, this is like such a great question. It's one I've been thinking about a lot and had conversations with people around the league about. And there's two main numbers, I would say, that are on people's minds. And it's, one is the one you just mentioned. How many cases in a 1,600-person bubble are we going to allow before we decide that the integrity of this bubble is compromised to the point where it's not safe, we got to send people home? Is that half? Is it 200, 300? You know, what? And I don't know that the NBA, I certainly haven't heard that the NBA has any kind of number. The other number that people are certainly curious about is, what is that number for an individual team or organization? You know, say four players gets it and, you know, three staff members, or, you know, what? I guess, compromised would a team have to be for the league to say, you know, the team, there are too many people have it, we got to send you home, it's not safe, et cetera, et cetera. So these are two of the great unknowns heading into the bubble, and I don't know that we'll get an answer there. I mean, these might be fluid situations where, you know, we don't maybe know until, I don't know, maybe it's too late.
Well, is this the same thing, Baxter, that if we get, let's, you know, we get well into the relaunch of this thing and with a playoff start and you get through maybe the first round or even the second round and you're into the conference final situation and the scenario that you just pointed out pops up that, you know, here are three guys from the Lakers that are down. Here are two other guys from the Clippers that are down. Milwaukee's lost a guy or two along the way on the other half. Could you get that far into it and still say, okay, we can't go any further? Or is there a point of no return where even if guys start to drop like left and right and they have to go into quarantine, we're going to finish this come hell or high water?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the great unknowns, honestly, because, I mean, the scenario you pointed out is absolutely a possibility. Pandemic, a highly, you know, contagious virus, you know, could easily spread. We've certainly seen it happen plenty. So, And I think in some ways, I've had some talks with people around the league about this. You know, whoever is the last team standing, they will really have overcome quite a lot. And certain teams that make it, it won't be necessarily maybe because they don't have talent or whatever the case. We always talk about like, oh, health, it's all about injuries. Who can, you know, be kind of the last team standing. But the word health is it takes on kind of a broader meaning now. And it'll be incumbent upon some guys to really be diligent and, you know, not only take care of their bodies for the sake of trying to make it through a potential title run, but doing all the diligent hygiene things and washing hands and wearing masks and, you know, abiding by all the rules in order to stay as healthy and safe as they can so they can potentially make it through it. So, yeah, these are huge, huge issues that could potentially, you know, whichever team is the last team standing, we'll certainly look at them in an interesting way because of the particular environment they had to endure during the time there.
I mean, the last team standing obviously will be the champion. A year ago, that means they got a parade. This year, what are they going to get?
I mean, the whole thing is so weird. It's like, yeah, when do they get to be celebrated in a way? And what does that look like? I don't know. I mean, it's one of those many millions of dollars of questions about just how, you know, there's so many things about this pandemic and the ripple effects of when they'll be able to. I mean, maybe it's just like we can't have a parade until there's a vaccine. People can celebrate like a year now and everything's just on hold until the vaccine. But yeah, that's another one of those weird ones that people have to somehow adjust to, I guess.
Well, back in LA, we're going to win the World Series and the NBA championship.
Do it all
so
at once.
If we could just have, yeah, let's just have one big Zoom meeting and we'll just celebrate and then, you know, keep it pushing.
Zooms are all the rage now. So I guess they could look, you know, in the age of social media and Zoom and all these other kind of platforms that are similar to Zoom, I'm sure people could come up with something to tide over in the meantime, you know. But, yeah, that's about probably as good and as safe as we're going to get at the time being.
Baxter Holmes covers the NBA for ESPN. And Baxter, let's talk about what we're going to see and be optimistic about the playoffs that we hopefully get to at some point. The eighth seed in the Western Conference is the one thing that's kind of up for grabs at this point. Memphis has it right now, but we know we've got Portland, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns that are all going to be there. Who do you think ultimately gets that last spot? Is Memphis going to hold on? Could we see Zion and the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram against the Lakers going up against his old team? How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, I mean, first, we have to first say that one of the big qualifiers here is we're not sure how everybody's going to look after about, I guess, 4 months off. And, you know, a lot of people haven't had access to gyms. They've been doing individual workouts. You don't know what kind of shape or quality of basketball we'll get. So the answer, it might not necessarily be, you know, have so much to do with who the actual best team is at that point. There may be, you know, other factors we could. You know, there's certainly talk around the league of, you know, if shaking off a lot of rust, and we don't know how everybody's been staying in shape, and, you know, what if we have a rash of injuries just because of this long layoff and a really rush to get there. So those are the major things we have to think about. I've liked Memphis a lot at this point, but it's also such a weird circumstance that they're coming back into. So you're having to think like, okay, all things being equal, if everybody stayed in great shape and there's no real rust, or if everybody's rusty or whatever. But those are the things that are going to define it. Honestly, I think within the first, you know, few days of games, we'll get a good sense of who was, you know, minding the, you know, staying up and ready during all this period, and maybe who wasn't.
Can you talk a little bit about the Player Coalition and More Than an Athlete, and, you know, some of the things that has started to bubble up and materialize in the wake of a month-long protest since George Floyd's murder?
Yeah, first of all, there's been in recent years, NBA players have really been using their platform and their voice to speak out on so many different, you know, social issues and recognizing kind of the power in their voice and their reach and so many of the other things. And certainly this is such a key moment for that. And one of the things that I'm particularly really interested in, and I think this, you know, we'll see, you know, like More Than a Vote, and there's many things that I think will carry into November and things like that. But I'm really interested, honestly, you know, given the moment, the climate, everything that's been happening, when they get to Orlando, how players will use kind of their platform there. There's not going to be a lot going on, you know, in the national landscape, I think they'll have kind of the stage themselves. And certainly there'll be a lot of people tuning in to watch NBA basketball. So it's going to be an amazing platform for them to speak out about various, you know, social issues that are important to them, you know, some of the ones you just mentioned. So, you know, this is, I think it's a continuation of a trend that we've seen for years. You know, you can even date it back to guys like Bill Russell and so on and so forth way back when. But it's great to see. I mean, it's raising awareness in a lot of really important ways.
ESPN senior NBA writer Baxter Holmes joining us here on The Morning Show. Baxter, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks a bunch.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, LZ, I don't know if Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios is what you had in mind. I think it's time that we open this up and we get the idea of what is the – if you're forced to commit a crime and combine two cereals in one bowl, what is the best combination? 877-710-ESPN. We'll come up with some of those next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Jorge's doing all right by you.
Too many calls. My bad.
He's got too many things going on. You know what, LZ? I feel better about something. That when you asked our last guest, Baxter Holmes, which two cereals he would combine, and he came up with the idea of Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios, what that confirmed to me is that our guest is not a crazy person, that he is a rational, thoughtful person, which is a good news, because only a crazy person could come up with something like Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops in the same bag, which is happening. Our listeners are better suited for crazy ideas on which cereals to combine. Let's start with Joe in L.A. Joe, you are on The Morning Show. Which cereal atrocity are you coming up with?
I wouldn't call it an atrocity, but my choice would be Alphabets and Honeycombs together.
All right. Alphabet and
they still exist, though, man?
All right.
Aren't those pretty much the same cereal?
Well, I mean, it's not that much of a deviation, although I have two quick points to make with you and with LZ. First one is, you guys do know that Patrick Mahomes, he puts ketchup on his barbecue ribs.
wait, what?
Yeah, no, yeah. I've heard that. He's got a very what? Specific ketchup takes, Mahomes does. He's with right. Joe is
on
right.
On barbecue ribs? He plays for Kansas City. He's in Kansas City.
Well,
you didn't know they football there, because that's unacceptable.
LZ?
Yes, sir.
You know that's the white part of him that does that.
Okay, hey, they said it, not us, America. They said it, not us.
I can't speak to that breakdown, my friend. I can't speak to that breakdown.
I have a second point.
I'll just say I've never been to a family reunion where ketchup was offered for my ribs. I'll just say that.
I have the quick point. Second point for LZ. Are you
go ahead.
There?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yep. Full disclosure. All my family, they're from Texas. I'm from here, but I do put butter and sugar on my grits.
Okay. Oh man, where'd you guys get this guy from? Are you kidding me? Why,
thank you, Joe?
Dude, that's a grit.
Look, here's what I'll say: barbecued ribs, especially in Kansas City, you're probably not going to find a better rack of ribs anywhere, right? That's the Kansas City barbecue is its own thing, and it's a wonderful thing. But I don't care if Patrick Mahomes wants to dip them in honeycomb. He can do whatever he wants. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback that we've seen in a very long time coming to this league. I don't care what he puts on his ribs. If I'm a Kansas City fan, he can get away with it. I don't care at all.
You go right ahead with that nonsense. I don't give a damn how many yards you throw. You putting ketchup on your ribs, you got to go, dog. I would be trying to orchestrate a trade right now if I had known.
So Matt Stafford eats his ribs right, and Patrick Mahomes eats them with ketchup. You want to keep your boy Stafford?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's, because you can only play football for so long. You can cook ribs forever.
Let's try another one here on the Sprint People's Hotline. George in West Covina. George, what's going on?
Hey, Tocayo.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, man? What's up?
What's up?
Jorge, not George. It's Jorge.
Jorge. My bad, Jorge. What's up, Jorge?
How about Honey Nut Cheerios and Honey Bunches of Oats?
Again, we're doing the same thing. The idea is to...
No. The idea is there, but it's sort of like not too sugary with Frosted Flakes, but, you know, the right combination of the nuts and the Honey Nut Cheerios. It's a good combo.
I don't know, LZ. These feel like very similar combinations. This is a... this is similar to the idea that Kellogg's had in the first place of the Toucan Sam and Tony the Tiger in the same box. It's just different colors of the same cereal. That there's the flake sugar and the round sugar. It's the same thing.
I mean, we live in a society where people don't want to mix their carrots and peas and potatoes on their plate. And now all of a sudden you just want to throw in all these different flavored cereals. I'm telling you, Travis, I don't see this being a hit. If they couldn't sell peanut butter and jelly together, how the hell are you going to sell Frosted Flakes and Cheerios?
Let's see if we can find another better idea. L.A. again, and Sean on the Sprint People's Hotline. Sean, what's up?
Yeah, well, first of all, you don't mix cereal. That's just cereal. You know, you don't do that. But if you are, then you got to go the peanut butter Captain Crunch with Cocoa Puffs.
Now we're talking.
All right.
There you go.
Now we got one.
Like all right, okay. All right, okay.
Took a minute. You got it.
You got the texture there. You got texture with the peanut butter Captain Crunch. You know, they're a little hard. And you got the kind of the softness of the Cocoa Puffs. And then the best part is when all the cereal's gone, and now you got chocolate peanut butter milk.
Well, basically what Sean just did.
He's playing chess.
Sean just created a bowl of Reese's peanut butter cups.
That's right.
Good job, Sean. That's the first good idea I've heard through this entire thing. Let's try one more here. Jerome in West Covina. Double West Covina this morning. What's up, Jerome?
All right. Yeah, that dude just created Reese's Cocoa Puffs. I was talking about Cocoa Puffs and Rice Krispies. And it's not about the flavors. It's about the texture. You can even do Captain Crunch and Fruity Pebbles. I know they're all fruity, but it's the texture. Like you mentioned on the draft, that cocoa or the Captain Crunch is just going to tear your mouth up. You need something soft. You need to kind of mellow it on out, bro. That's all you need.
Thank you, Jerome. Those last two ideas are not terrible ideas. I still am not going to do it. I'm still going to eat one and then the other if I have to eat it at all. But the idea of creating a bowl full of Reese's peanut butter cups, that sounds okay to me. I could probably get with that, LZ.
I like the mix. I like having the Reese's peanut butter cup in your bowl, but I'm not quite sure about this one. I'm not really sure about this one.
I have a feeling
it comes to a certain point, Travis.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I have a feeling you're still reeling from the Patrick Mahomes ribs news to you. I feel like you haven't recovered from that piece of shocking information.
Well, it's disturbing because I'm trying to figure out I have to figure out, did someone introduce this to him as a child and thus he doesn't know better? Or is he just still rebelling from his teenage years to tick off his parents for something and he hasn't come out of it? I'm trying to figure out how did he get to this place and why is he still there? Because it just feels that even if you grew up with ketchup, the one day you try barbecue sauce, you realize, this is better, and then you just naturally make the change.
Yeah, well, here's what I know, is that somebody needs to send a plate of ketchup up ribs to Jared Goff just to see if it helps. Just send it. If I'm any coach in the NFL, I'm saying, you know what, here, quarterback guy, sit down. I want you to try this. It may be disgusting, but let's just see how this goes, because that dude over there just won the Super Bowl and an MVP in back-to-back seasons. I'm going to need you to try this.
I don't know. I'm thinking about him differently now. If we do another snake draft, I don't know if I'm thinking of him. This thing's kind of long. I was blindsided by that.
You need some time to recover, so I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. And when we come back, Michael Silver from the NFL Network says that there are a number of teams that are interested in Colin Kaepernick. Is this time going to be different? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. LZ, stop me if you've heard this one before, that there are teams in the NFL that are interested in signing Colin Kaepernick. Mike Silver, who is an NFL reporter for the NFL Network right now, covered the league for a long time, a very plugged-in guy for sure, says that multiple teams and at least one head coach have legitimate interest in signing him before the start of the season. Quote, Colin Kaepernick, who's not played since 2016, finds himself in the same situation that Cam Newton and Jadeveon Clowney do, which is a team would be ready to sign him, would want to work him out. I feel like we've heard this before, that people are always very excited to talk about, yeah, we'd love to have him. We just got to have X, Y, and Z fall into place, and we'd be incredibly interested in Colin Kaepernick, and yet Colin Kaepernick never winds up on somebody's team. Is this different?
I think this will be different. You have players like Renee Montgomery, who's on First Take right now, leaving basketball to fight for criminal justice reform. You have Oklahoma State creating a diversity council. You have owners tripling their dedication, their resources to fighting racial injustice. This isn't a flash in the pan. This is a continual movement fueled, one, by the people out on the streets, the grassroots leaders who've always been there, who were prepared for this moment, but also, two, athletes who feel emboldened, Travis, and feel empowered and are no longer concerned that by speaking out on these issues, they could risk their careers. And they owe Colin Kaepernick a lot of credit for doing that. The first one always takes the biggest bullet, and Cap did that. And now the players after him, from LeBron James on down, they just feel more empowered. And because of that, they're going to end up lifting Cap back up. They're going to resurrect his career. The league will have no choice but to offer this man a fair opportunity because they've run out of excuses and places to hide. You can't say it's not acceptable. You can't say he can't play anymore. You can't say no one wants him. Like, you're running out of things to say to punish him for dragging you to this place to begin with.
Well, I hope that's true. I just wonder, because just because they can't put their hands on him and work him out or see him in person or give him a physical exam, that seems to be the latest, oh, he can't play anymore. Oh, we like our quarterback room. Oh, we have Geno Smith. That, look, I agree with you. There is no question that Colin Kaepernick is one of the 64 best quarterbacks on earth. There's no question. He is. He's probably much better than that. But let's just say that, you know, there are two quarterback positions available on every team, and that's 64 spots. So he's one of those guys for sure. I don't need to see him in a high school playground or a high school football field throwing passes to some other guys to know that he's that. I know that he's that. I don't need to know. He's healthy. I mean, he has not played football. He hasn't taken a hit in, you know, nearly 5 years. So we know he's healthy. This idea that, oh, we can't do it right now because of X, Y, and Z feels very familiar to me. It feels very familiar. Like Pete Carroll, who I think is a guy that is genuine in saying that he thinks Colin Kaepernick will get back, that guys are reaching out to him. He made the case that, you know, well, we'd like our room with Geno Smith. Geno Smith is not better than Colin Kaepernick, period. And we know that the NFL's entire credo is next man up, that the second they can find somebody that can do it better for less or the same price, they're going to move on from somebody. Colin Kaepernick is one of the better quarterbacks, one of the 64 better quarterbacks, and yet nobody's signing him. And it's just now the reason is, well, they can't get to him. They can't work him out. Once they can work him out, you know, and like I said before, Cam Newton's unavailable, or Cam Newton hasn't signed. Jadeveon Clowney hasn't signed. Well, okay, but until I see Colin Kaepernick has signed a contract with blank, I'm going to be skeptical.
Well, it's, for me, it's different because you have so many players from walks of life that weren't there in the past banging this drum. Drew Brees, Tom Brady. I mean, guys who tried to sidestep getting into this water a couple years ago are now diving in headfirst because the temperature of the water has changed. And they don't want to be seen on the wrong side, or they haven't changed their heart, or they too feel more emboldened now that they can speak out. And what you're finding too, Travis, is that you're now finding politicians, either because it's an election year and they're looking at their constituents, and the constituents are looking at them, finding some of the politicians now who may have had somewhat of a neutral sort of positioning with this conversation. You're finding them even speaking out now. So it's getting more and more difficult for owners who may be ticked off to find a place to hide. And oh, by the way, I will only add too that I strongly believe that had the league not got into a fight with the president of the United States early in his administration, that they might have just had already had him back anyway. But they didn't want to deal with that smoke coming from a President Trump tweet. And even that's changing. One, we're in an election year. Two, he no longer has the capital that every president gets when he first gets elected. In fact, he's embattled. And so when you look at all those factors and all those changes from when this first started being an issue with the NFL to where we are today, I just think everything has changed. And I fully expect Kaepernick to be out back in the league. I truly do.
I hope so. But I'll say it again. We don't have salary cap space. Well, we like our roster as it is. Well, we haven't seen them work out. Well, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Well, this, that. You mean to tell me that none of these boxes could have been checked for one team in all of this time? And I hear what you're saying, that the wind is blowing in a different direction for sure. The teams that would have not wanted the heat that comes along with bringing Colin Kaepernick in would now be willing to do it because either A, they're willing to take on the heat, or B, the heat has really been turned down, and now it's just a matter of making a good football decision. But if all of this was true, why hasn't somebody done it by now? Because at the end of the day is, we know this to be true. There are not enough good quarterbacks for spots that are available. And I'm not talking about vacancies. Vacancies is one thing, but just being better than the other guy is another thing. We see it all the time. What the Rams have right now, they have a guy that really has never played meaningful time in the NFL outside of an exhibition season as their backup quarterback right now. And I'm not saying that the Rams should go out there and do this, but there are places where he would slide right in and be a very, very capable backup, and yet there's still these litany of reasons why it hasn't happened when there has been enough time to do it. The wind has been blowing a different direction long enough to do it. If you're just saying, you know what, okay, the heat's off, he's better than the guy I have right now, bring his ass in here. I would have thought that would have happened by now if it were as simple as all that.
Well, you know, as we say with the, or as Keith had to say anyway, with the Dak Prescott contract, there's no football, there's no rush. You sign him now, it's not like he's going to be on camp or on the grounds the next day. So there's still time. But I, for one, am not going to allow this platform that I've been blessed to have go to waste. And just like I didn't let Colin Kaepernick's name fall from our ears when he started, I certainly am not going to let it fall from our ears now. And I, for one, and I know there are tons of other people who have similar or greater platforms than I, they feel the same way. That for us to have any sort of legitimate push in the world of sports when it comes to this conversation, the man that dragged the world there needs to have an opportunity to get his career back. We cannot, in good faith, continue to talk about Bubba Wallace and LeBron James and his organization and not talk about Colin Kaepernick. Because Bubba is still racing. Bron is still hooping. That brother needs to have that opportunity to continue with his career because he did absolutely nothing wrong.
I completely agree with you, but that is different than someone giving him a job. That people advocating for him and saying, I'm not going to forget, that's great. And that's the way it should be. But if he's the player that we're all saying that he is, if all of these were, well, I'd love to sign him. And, oh, yeah, he's going to be back for sure, that you hear these organizations saying, wouldn't you be worried about somebody grabbing him first? Hey, look, you know, I need a backup quarterback. Colin Kaepernick's available. They know that all these teams are all these teams are racing to get to him and work him out. You know, just bring him in here and sign him right now. There's no reason not to sign him right now. And yet he's unsigned. The reasons to do it are abundant. The political climate has changed. The NFL's tenor towards these issues has changed. There are spots that make perfect sense for him, and yet he's unsigned. I've heard it too many times from these teams and from people that cover the league saying, oh, this team is interested or that team is interested. and he never goes. If they're that interested, if there are that many teams, if you and I are trying to buy a house, right, and you know I like it, and I know you like it, and there's two other guys that came in there, and they both like it, one of us is going to pull the trigger to buy that house before any of the other ones can get it. We're not all going to say, hey, Rick, we all love the house. One of us is going to get it. We're not doing that. And that's what's happening with Colin Kaepernick.
I've lost houses for doing that. You know, we go back and forth with, like, the owner, and you make a bid, you go back and forth, and then someone else comes in with their order, and you didn't see them, and they just swoop in. So I hear what your example, and I know the analogy you speak of, but I just feel that this is different. And it's different because can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah.
We can't stop, we won't stop. So he's going to be back on. The only question is which team is going to be the one that does it.
Sooner than later, hopefully. The Dodgers are the favorites in Vegas heading into a 60-game season. If it happens, does Clayton Kershaw have his World Series? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.